Diary 1, from April 26, 1915 to June 4, 1915. Chapter 2. First Gallipoli landing at Gabatebe. April 26, 1915. Woke up at 6:15 by the Majestic's broadside. Proves a real good alarm clock. Observing the naval fire all the morning. Was having quite a snooze about 1 p.m. when Gibson woke me up with full marching orders to go ashore. Saw to the slinging of horses and got aboard the punt, and was towed ashore by a minesweeper. Within a mile from the shore we became a mark for the enemy snipers and they served it up pretty hot. One bullet went through Doc's haversack. While another introduced itself to S.G.T. Gidd and myself as we were sitting together. Missed Gidd's head by a matter of decimals of an inch. Passed close to London as she let go a broadside. Knocked one chap's cap off. On getting to the shore, wreck. Orders to go back as the landing was too crowded. Didn't we curse, but orders are orders on service, so back we went. I'd like to have 5 minutes with that particular officer who handed out that order. The enemy snipers got busy again but only splashed the water around us. Back on board the SS Indian. April 27, 1915. Went to bed absolutely down and out last night. Awfully disappointed at not being allowed to land. Woke up at 5:30 this morning by bursting shells. Seems to me they can't leave this craft alone. 4 10-inch lyddite shells lobbed in the water close to us, one rang in my ears for some time afterwards. Their gunnery is rotten, made an awful mess of the water. Got the order to clear out of range. Put back to sea at 9 a.m. Went SW on some shrewd movement. Cruised about all day and part of the night. Curse that officer. Bunk 9:30. April 28, 1915. Party detailed last night, went ashore by the Navy's fire. Didn't find anybody to fight with or dispute their landing so came back. Anyhow a little later a Turkish observation station was located, which the Amethyst reduced to nothing much in 2 shots, range 6 miles. Cruised around all afternoon, but could not draw the enemy's fire. Still waiting a fitting opportunity to land at the main landing place on Gabatebe. AE-2 and another British sub got into the Sea of Marmora and sank a transport. Our troops succeeded in establishing themselves 11.5 miles inland. Great praise from the powers that be. Naval men greatly taken with the first wild charge. Bunk 9:30. April 29, 1915. Woke up to find a real gale raging. Blowing is no name for it. Cold as charity. Still playing the waiting game, but wish that our landing orders would come quickly. This afternoon played a game of drawing the enemy's fire just south of our landing place. They let drive at us but no sooner had the cruisers spotted the flash than it was good night Ethel. Had another Beano tonight. April 30, 1915. Woke up this morning by a broadside from the Queen. Found out that we were back at our old landing at Gabatebe. The Turks' main arsenal, in Mados, has been set on fire by lyddite from the battleships. It's still burning fiercely a few miles inland. Heard today some awful atrocities committed on our wounded. CO and adjutant gone ashore this afternoon. Bombarding second ridge inland all day. Another Beano tonight. Something starting with F. May 1, 1915. First of the shooting season at home today. We're still after bigger game here. Heavy bombardment all day. The Queen anchored about a mile away, made splendid practice on an enemy's trench. She fired 6 rounds at this target, all proving effective. When the smoke had cleared, exit trench. Have quite changed my opinion of the Turks. Always thought they compared favorably with Americans, all boast. But what they have stood in reference to gunfire is marvelous. Message dispatched from GOC to our divisional CO. Your Australians have done wonders. Bombardment all day. May 2, 1915. Things very quiet on shore today. Only about 50 shells lobbed by the fleet. Our 29th DIV effected another landing away on the left called Cape Helles. From all accounts, they had a pretty stiff time. Tonight from 6 till 8 the heaviest bombardment commenced. It was glorious to watch. One Turkish battery was blown up with 6 shots. Had a ripping view of it. The concussion of the guns shook our ship some. The gunnery was marvelous. Aeroplane observation. Casualty list on board 5,000 killed and wounded. SGT Gold Ring, whom I met at Mina, is seriously wounded. Hamish went on board the Murmansk to see his pater. Lt. Colonel N bought back bread, milk, jam, etc., and yeah, God's yummies for all. Big Bino tonight. May 3, 1915. Heavy bombardment this morning. Had orders to get close in and get ready to disembark, when our friends lobbed several shells at us. One chap, about a 10-inch, landed square on the foremost derrick of the boat next to us. Killed and wounded 16. They had our range, and just put them into their heart's content. Had to put out to sea once more, and remained there for the rest of the day. Just finished Bino tonight when Olding came along and told us we were to reinforce the 29th DIV at Cape Helles. Great excitement. All just about mad. Weighed anchor 11.25 p.m. Landing at Cape Helles. May 4, 1915. Arrived at destination 2.30 p.m. Started disembarking ashore at 5 p.m. Saw to the guns coming off safely. Then Norman, Todd, and self went for a stroll, just to see the sights. The foreshore is absolutely lined with trenches and graves. Our chaps lost terribly, and were driven back once right on the beach. The bay itself was strongly fortified and barbed wire was placed 80 yards out from the shore underwater, so as to entangle the boats. Got back to the battery and parked our guns. Bunk on terra firma once again. May 5, 1915. Got orders early this morning to get going. Walked about 4 miles to our advanced trenches. They, the enemy, didn't half shell us too. Saw a fragment of shell fire from Lizzie's 15-inch guns about 2 feet long, 2 inches thick, and it took me all my time to lift it with one hand. Saw a French 75 battery in action for the first time. Also passed a 4.5 howitzer battery in action. As I am writing, the Lizzie is letting drive broadsides about 3 miles away. About 100 yards to our left a 75 BTY is also letting drive like mad. Got to our rendezvous and started to dig emplacements for our guns. Relieved the L.BTY of their position. They are further over to our left. Opened fire at night. Got peppered in return. No casualties, but there was a sniper who nearly scored one hit I happen to know about. No sleep. We are the farthest advanced BTY in this section fall in, for the best part of their sniping. May 6, 1915. Our first big action. Fighting all day and going some too. Big attack on the town of Krithia and main entrenchments of the Turks. From early morning the British and French wounded have been passing us in a continual stream. This afternoon several infantry chaps were hit around our position and many were dragged into our pits for attention and protection. SGT Selmas and GR Gilligan slightly wounded. As I write this seated on the left gun seat waiting for the order to open fire again, they're not half peppering us. Our friend the sniper has our range and occasionally lobs one into our pit. We're after him tonight. Reckon he's had a fairly good innings. Bitterly cold. May 7, 1915. Exit sniper. Under shell fire all day. They got our range early in the morning and won't forget it. Both English and French batteries on either side of us had a few casualties yesterday. To our surprise, we find the enemy in possession of big howitzers. One fuse head fell into our trench and is a beauty. Subjected to rifle fusillades all afternoon. Got quite used to the musical noise the bullets make going overhead. Saw Chaz today. Hear that Norman is all right. We're only 1,200 yards off the enemy's first line trench. Quiet night. May 8, 1915. Another big bombardment today. We were in action from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m., fired 220 rounds. 120 field guns in action together. Talk about an inferno. The noise was deafening. The naval gun supplied the base. A sub's gun layer had to get off his seat and get down into the shelter trench, nerves gone I hear. Regret to have to record the death of one of our most liked boys. G.H. King, Kingy, was shot through the heart while bringing up ammunition. Men from Mons say that the battle there wasn't in it with today's fight. Enemy again retreated. 1BTY which we can't locate poured shrapnel into us until they must have been sick of it. Both friends and enemy lost terribly. The Turks had to ask for an armistice to bury their dead. Fierce fighting all night. May 9, 1915. Buried Kingy under a hill in the rear of our position. Anyhow, he met his death in the way we all hope to meet it if it is to come out here, in action. Things fairly quiet until 5 p.m., when our friends started a counter-attack, which came to a sticky end after 2 hours fighting. Aeroplanes report that too. June 1, 1915. Went for a stroll to the beach today. Usual happenings. I really think that the whole Turkish artillery want for me to get out in the open and then amuse themselves by raining every available gun on me. Got into a dust-up this afternoon. Believe there is going to be an attack along our whole front by our friends. We're ready for them. Any quantity of ammunition ready now. Saw Majestic today in an awful mess. June 2, 1915. The heaviest bombardment our friends have ladled out to us. Haven't they been having a time? Just wreck some high explosive for our next bombardment. GNR Gibbs killed tonight. Saw Chaz tonight, still alive and kicking. June 3, 1915. Buried GNR Gibbs this morning beside Kingy. Extremely interesting to know that we have three women snipers now. They are down in the base quartered in a wire cage arrangement similar to what they put tigers in at the zoo. Swim this afternoon, our Asiatic friends couldn't leave us alone again and peppered us with 16-inch howitzers, several fell in the water near us. While one landed 30 yards away while we were dressing. They can't possibly let us alone. Lt. Klaus and GNR Tanner returned today. Klaus wounded in the head, Brown lost one arm. June 4, 1915. Have just got the order for the big fight. The heavy batteries in the rear are letting loose like mad with 6-inch lyddite, which is tearing things up a bit in the enemy's first line trenches. From the Asiatic side, our friends are returning the fire with their big howitzers. We're all ready to open fire. 6:30 following morning. Gee, what a day we had. Woke up with a head closely resembling the feeling of the morning after the night before. We were in action from 5 past 11 till 8:15 and only had 15 minutes spell during the whole time. Our gun fired 247 rounds. The whole battery about 900. About 2 p.m., Gibson got shot through the head. This was in the heat of the fight while the Turks were bringing up reinforcements. Took charge of the gun and kept firing for 3.5 hours until Norman came up from the wagon line. The losses up on the left are pretty stiff. Our boys got them on the run, while we peppered them with shrapnel which wrought awful havoc. Our gun got almost red hot. Couldn't touch it unless you got blistered. Unfortunately, I touched it. Was walking along the trench during the spell when a shell burst just in front and got a scratch on the left temple. Knocked me a bit silly, but didn't hurt much. Another 4.5 lobbed 3 feet away from our muzzle and burst. Blew a portion of our pit away, but nobody hurt. End of chapter 2.